Best of luck this season. Mow over your competition from Power Up Equipment Incorporated. All the best names in grounds care are here, including Honda Power Equipment, Cub Cadet, Ferris, and many more. Power Up Equipment Incorporated on Route 68 west of Butler, right across from the Butler Farm Show Grounds. Call 724-482-2131 or go online at powerupequipment.com.
Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
We're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat. Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz, right here on Trib Live Radio.
Steelers and Cardinals coming up at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Heinz Field this Sunday. Joining us to talk about it from the Arizona perspective, Kent Summers, longtime Cardinals and NFL writer for azcentralsports.com. Kent, thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the... Where are you? Did you go with the team to Greenbrier, or are you in Pittsburgh?
I am at the Greenbrier right now. They're practicing. They're gonna wrap up here pretty soon, and they're flying to Pittsburgh, and I'm driving this afternoon.
Right, safe travels. Well, what was it like down there? I mean, was it as beautiful as they say it is?
Yeah, it couldn't have gone any better for this team. I mean, not only has the weather been perfect, the scenery is great. The facility here is unbelievable, the one that they built for the Saints summer training camp. I mean, the Cardinals are pretty much, football operations are pretty much contained in one building, and, you know, they... It's a perfect place to do this, to spend a week between games in the East. So they've got no excuse for, you know, coming out flat or not being ready for the Steelers, because this, I think, like I said, couldn't have gone any better than Bruce Arians could hope for.
How much does this game mean to him, Ken? I know he's not going to come out and say how badly he wants to beat the Steelers, but from being around him, do you get a sense that this is more than just another Sunday to him?
Oh yeah, no question about it. He, like you said, he won't say that. He's been really noticeably more, I don't know, calmness, not calm this week, but less effusive, less funny, less, you know, joking around. He's been very serious all week. This game is very personal to him. I mean, over the last 2+ years, he's joked several times about the Steelers re-firing him. He has said in all seriousness that he gets up every morning and gives thanks that the Steelers did what they did, because it led to the Colts job, which led to this job, and, you know, otherwise he probably wouldn't have ever become a NFL head coach. I mean, he, as Antonio Brown told us on the conference call on Wednesday, he goes, I know how competitive BA is, and he wants to come in here Sunday and put on a show.
Ken, when I look at their schedule so far, that obviously jumps off the page, because they've taken care of business against some teams that aren't very good, and then they lost the Rams, who are so-so. What do you make of the 40-plus efforts that they've had on three occasions against the likes of Chicago, San Francisco, and Detroit? Are they taking advantage of poor teams, or is this a club in the Cardinals that could be looking at 11-12-1 season?
I think both. I really do. This is the team we've seen through camp, a very sharp Carson Palmer, an offense with a multitude of weapons. You know, I think they have some questions on defense. They've taken advantage of the schedule, no question, but they've also passed the eye test. I mean, I've watched other NFL games, and there's a lot of ugly football being played, and they haven't done that for the most part. And, you know, you could pick apart almost anybody's record in this league other than the Patriots. They're the only undefeated team that's beat two teams with winning records. Everybody else has beaten bad teams and bad teams with losing records. You know, you can go right down the line, you know, Denver, Atlanta until last night. Obviously what happened to Atlanta last night, I think, illustrates that, you know, I really think the Cardinals are the real deal. Not to say that it's not going to be a good game in Pittsburgh, and not that they could lose, but they're, as long as they stay healthy in certain spots, especially quarterback, as you guys know, I think they'll be right there at the end.
Speaking of health, Kent, we saw how good Mike Iupati was with San Francisco, one of their big acquisitions at the line. I see he's on the injury report. How healthy will Arizona be this weekend?
I think they'll be okay. Iupati's out practicing right now. He during the open part, he looked like he was moving around pretty well. Lamar Woodley was out there after missing all of week's practice with a chest injury. They're a little banged up on defense. They lost a starting outside linebacker, and Alex Okafor, he's out for a month. That prompted them to go sign Dwight Freeney, who will see part-time duty Sunday against the Steelers. They lost a couple of really good special teamers and inside linebacker Kenny Demons and safety Chris Clemens. You know, they were backups, but core special teams guys. We'll see how that impacts them. But, you know, other than Okafor on a starting lineup basis, this team's pretty healthy.
Ken, to amplify the point that Guy was bringing up before, I feel like this is going to be a game where Bruce delves into the playbook, delves into the rule book, like goes Belichick and figures out a way to throw the ball to offensive linemen and ineligible guys. I expect him to go up top anytime he gets the ball first and 10 between the 40s like he used to here in Pittsburgh. There are two agenda games on the schedule this week, New England versus Indy and this one with Arians versus the Steelers. I mean, I feel like he's going to air it out at Heinz Field. How about you?
He could. The only thing that makes me think the opposite is that they got a little bit cute last week in Detroit and opened in the no huddle in Ford Field. And like Arian said earlier, he goes, I couldn't even tell we were in no huddle. We were moving so slow. They had trouble hearing. They tried to do something different, and it didn't work. The third possession, they went back to running the ball with Chris Johnson. They pounded away a little bit, broke a big run, went up top. So I think that's the formula. I don't know how elaborate he is going to get. He's, like you said, he's going to be typical Bruce Arians. They're going to take a half dozen deep shots in a game, and they'll do that Sunday. But this team has been at its best when it's run the ball, and it's a cliche, but it's set up their play action. It's helped keep pressure off Carson Palmer. So I think that's more what they're going to do. I don't know. You know, maybe in some red zone situations they might do something tricky, but seriously, this team has so many offensive weapons in Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, Chris Johnson, David Johnson, Andre Ellington. It's a little foolish, I think, to get too cute and too elaborate and try and trick somebody when you've got all those playmakers.
I was surprised, Kent, to hear one of the Steelers linemen, Ramon Foster, said they are still very similar because Arians was here. Like, they have to change their line calls up this week, and they had a guy that came from Arizona and told them, we run the same stuff. Were you hearing that from some of the players as well about the similarities of these teams because of the Arians connection?
No, but that's interesting. I had not heard that. It doesn't surprise me. I wasn't sure how much Todd Haley had changed and adapted that offense. Defensively, these teams look very similar. You know, I think like the Steelers, the Cardinals and nickel will go to two down linemen and put two outside linebackers in the game to rush the passer. They'll use multiple safeties. They'll do a lot of different things. They'll blitz from different angles. They'll have a safety, Tyrann Mathieu, mostly blitzing. So I think, you know, these teams will look very similar, maybe not so much on offense given the, you know, quarterback situation with the Steelers, but on defense, definitely.
Has Chris Johnson been a big surprise to you, Ken?
I really did not know what to expect. You know, after his season with the Jets last year, you know, people were saying he had lost a step, and then you looked at, you know, his yards per gain average, you know, was still over 4 yards. It surprised me a little bit about how quickly he's fit into this offense and how quickly they've been able to kind of alter things and run things that he's comfortable with, you know, specifically the stretch play. But they love him. He's fit right in. He's kind of a quiet guy that gets along with everybody, and really giving him a big play dimension that this team hasn't had really in a long, long time. You know, Andre Ellington, it gives him that too, but he's had a hard time staying healthy. But you know, they've already had, you know, 10 runs of over 15 yards, and they only had 16 all of last season. And they've, you know, they've had 4 runs of over 25 yards. So they haven't had that dimension in their offense for a long, long time, if ever, in their Arizona history.
I feel like Palmer is still pissed at the Steelers. He knows that Von Olaf doesn't play here anymore, right?
You know what was funny is last week in Detroit, he forgot to pack his knee brace, so he played without a knee brace. They couldn't get it there in time. By the time he opened his bag, it was game time. You know, put it on, and they couldn't get it there, so they shipped his knee brace out, so we'll at least have it for this time. But he's a guy that he's really calm. He doesn't live in the past. He worked so hard this offseason because, you know, he realizes he's on a team that could make a run. And he's in the best shape of his life. His arm is stronger, and he's had no problems with the knee. So as long as they, you know, protect him and don't get him pummeled, I think he'll continue to put up really big numbers for him.
Isn't there a crummy player on the Cardinals somewhere that should have had to sacrifice their knee brace for Carson? I mean, he's the starting quarterback after all.
Well, I guess not. I guess it's like not one size fits all. Those things are pretty custom made. I kind of thought the same thing, but, you know, maybe they could have gone down to a Dick's Sporting Goods or something and found something. But no, he played without a knee brace. Nobody, you know, in the press really noticed it until, you know, the team website wrote about it earlier this week.
Well, Ken, we appreciate the insight. If you get some time on your drive up, go past the New River Gorge. That is one of the most beautiful places in the world. It's great down there. But
my family makes fun of me because every time we drive down to Myrtle Beach, the first two times we went, we stopped, took pictures, walked down.
Oh, you got to walk down.
Now we go by and they're like, Dad, we're not stopping at the gorge again.
Hey, that's part of being the dad is you know, doing stuff that they can make fun of. You know, you don't want them to feel left out.
Everybody puts on their Chevy Chase hat once or twice,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
That's right. Put on the Bermuda shorts and the high socks and go.
We'll see you Sunday at Heinz Field. Thanks again.
See you, Ken.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Right.
So this year, when we stopped to go to the bathroom at a rest stop near there, I bought everybody a postcard picture of the gorge and gave it to them when they got back in the car.
That's funny.
Since we're not going to see it here, you can put this in your room.
I thought you said you're going to stop at the rest stop and you're going to pee on the bologna sandwiches like the dog did in Vacation.
I could totally see Guy in one of those vacations.
Oh, absolutely.
Christie Brinkley coming by in the convertible and Guy's like,
like the redhead in St. Louis.
Hi, honey. I met this person in the pool.
Like swimming naked with girls? Yeah, I like swimming naked with girls.
You know, Russ.
It's interesting. You know, Kent's talking about the revenge game and how personal it is. I mean, Arians to this point has basically played that down to a no. It's just,
you know what,
just
though?
Another
unless
game.
Players absolutely love Arians, though, I don't know that that translates over into them winning the game anyway. Here's what I want to know, though, and I understand the travel thing, because don't forget the Steelers had petitioned to get the San Diego game and the Seattle game back to back so they could have stayed out west like Arizona did here. But do you have more of an edge coming in here having traveled? Or if you spent a week at Greenbrier, you may be so relaxed. And,
yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? Does that have an opposite effect? Do you lose some of your edge? Because you're only practicing a few hours, and you spend the rest of the time sitting around the pool and getting massage therapy. I mean,
should have practiced in Morgantown and have people throw bottles at you or something. You know? I agree.
How about their schedule, huh? I mean, not just this kind of
the Cardinals
week.
Schedule?
Yeah. Because they got this game against Pittsburgh, right? Then they go home to play Baltimore, and then they come back to play Cleveland.
Oh, man.
All right, and then they got the bye. And then after the bye, they're at Seattle, home for Cincy, and then San Francisco and St. Louis. So they've got a span where it's 4-5 on the road with the bye week sandwich in between. They finish up. Tell me how important these games might be for the NFC playoff picture here. Keep an eye on Arizona and the key that they hold for the NFC playoff picture. Christmas weekend, they host Green Bay. New Year's weekend, they host Seattle.
Wow. Last two games of the year, Green Bay and Seattle.
At home.
At least they get them at home.
Yeah, but their schedule to this point, Tim, has been a cakewalk. Saints,
right.
Bears, Niners, Rams, and Lions.
That's why I was asking Ken earlier in the interview. It's like 48, 47, and 42. It can shit, and shittier.
I mean, I think they've got a kind of a smoke and mirrors 4-1 record myself.
A couple more clips from Todd Haley I wanted to get to here before we pick pork at the top of the hour, guys.
Hey, can I give you a quick Penguins note here?
Yeah,
this came out while Kent was on with us. Bo Bennett is now on injured reserve.
Does that matter, though? That's a thing for hockey where...
Yeah,
I think 7 days or so, right? I mean, it's
okay.
There's an error time on
and
that?
And Erickson came up, so I believe I saw somewhere... I just lost it. Damn computer.
Eric Fair's back on the ice, by the way, too, today.
Well, he practiced yesterday, too, I think. He skated a little bit. That's gone from Christmas to Thanksgiving to Halloween now for him, as far as to when he's going to be back, it feels.
So he might be back at Halloween?
Well, early November is what I was hearing now, because it had been Thanksgiving, and the first thing that I had heard was Christmas after they got him.
He'll be back before Dupuy then, at this point. If Dupuy's ever back. I mean, of course, we know he was skating too yesterday, which is good. But
so Erickson got recalled. Bennett is listed on injured reserve, and I saw somewhere, I think Mike Colligan, yes, that means that the Penguins now have an estimated $2.3 million in call-up flexibility remaining.
Did they make Erickson drive the Wilkes-Barre?
You got to report, don't you?
Do you really have to?
I thought you had to report. I know that's the case in baseball.
Oh, God. Just a trip across I-80 for fun. You spoke to Todd Haley yesterday, Tim. He was asked about a couple different things. Ben Roethlisberger, one of the things he was asked about, they seem to be trying to perpetuate some kind of myth that Ben could play this week, right?
Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, this is really going to get into Bruce's head.
I think this is the cut on Ben here. Haley was asked about that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to comment on that.
You decide not to comment on Ben. Are you not commenting on really enthusiastic, encouraging stuff? Or
no, I was a head coach once. I'm the head coach comments on guys that are on the injured list, so I'm not commenting.
Good job by Haley to go head coach and give nothing, but there is zero chance Ben plays this week, right?
He's not playing this week.
0.01, maybe?
0.0.
Okay. And in terms of whether they can beat Arizona deep, like you said, you think Arians is going to throw deep, and I agree with you. He's going to have Michael Floyd and John Brown streaking deep often in this game.
Two sins that the Steelers need to avoid on Sunday. One, allowing a sack to Woodley if he plays.
Yes.
Two, if they manage to turn the ball over or field position dictates via punt return, kick return, something like that, that Arians is between the 40s on 1st and 10, I will bet my house that he goes up top. Because he always did that when he was here. Always.
Mike Wallace.
And it used to work.
Yep.
Every time. It was like the defense was surprised every time it happened.
Well, you wanted them to do it this past week.
Right, I did.
And they didn't.
And they handed the ball off to Le'Veon Bell.
You missed B.A.
And I said, remember, I said they did between the 35, remember, they got to the 37, and they went up top to Antonio Brown, and he dropped the touchdown. So they tried it with Vic the first time. Brown just dropped it.
Now, Martavis is going to play this week. So that's a big difference for the Steelers, and we know about the Vic comfort he had with him in the preseason game anyway. So what about the Steelers and some deep balls? Here is what Todd Haley said in that regard.
I don't know that. Again, I think the coverage dictates a lot of what you see. You know, as I've said in the past, you know, when we were getting accused of being a dink and dunk outfit, you know, we got a deep option almost every play that we designed. So the defense is going to tell a lot about where the football goes.
He didn't seem to like that dink and dunk tag and that particular answer, which I mean, he was getting praised for that actually by the time Ben had been healthy for a full year and a half, and you can understand why Haley went to that route.
Well, this dovetails back to the Ramon Foster-Antonio Brown conversation about how many times they went deep and how few times the ball was actually thrown deep, mm-hmm. whether or not it was covered or Vic just didn't want to or whatever the case was. But I think he will be more inclined to throw deep with Martavis Bryant as the target downfield than Antonio Brown or Marcus Wheaton.
I would say that's probably true, just based on Bryant's physical stature.
I mean, there's a lot of things flowing in the right direction for them to be. First of all, the game's at home, mm-hmm. Which Monday night actually could have been either. It was the weirdest
hostile environment.
It was the weirdest thing. It was really about as 50-50 crowd. It was still a little louder when San Diego would do something well. But if you just turned your back to the field, it was really hard to tell what was going on in the game. But still, a home game, getting a key body back that you worked well with in one preseason game for what that was worth in Martavis Bryant. Now you've been practicing as the starting quarterback for a third straight game, mm-hmm. 1 week a little extra long, 1 week a little short, 1 week right on time. So 3 weeks of practice. So I think, let's say Ben is out a couple of more games, I think what we see this week is pretty much all we can expect. I think people keep thinking there's going to be this steady improvement with Vic till he gets to be as good as Ben in 3 weeks. That's never happening.
Right.
I mean, so at some point, Vic will be Vic. I don't, you know, want to go back to the theme of the day.
You want to go back to your bar graph analogy for penguin? Sorry, for hockey versus football, yeah. Where the Jonathan Bombouli theory about player 100 is going up in terms of goal scoring, and player number one, number two are going down in terms of it's point production, not goal scoring, right? Was it goals?
It was
or points.
Yeah,
points. Okay. Well, I said it's kind of similar with football in a way. I looked at it a little bit more in depth. It's more like the number one keeps going up, but number 30,
they're all going
a quarterback,
up.
Is going up a lot faster. All right, so here's my little quiz to try to prove this, all right? Brady is the number one quarterback right now, according to quarterback rating, passer rating in the NFL. Give me number 15 and what you think his rating is.
What's Brady's rating?
121.
The rating of the 15th-ranked quarterback, is that what you're asking?
Probably not in the 90s.
103.
95 is the rating.
95 is right. Who is it?
It's Joe Flacco.
Hasselbeck.
Okay.
Or if because
who
he's
has not thrown an interception yet.
Yeah, so if you don't want to go with him because he hasn't played so much, you want a more of a sample size, 14 is Breeze at 96, 16 is Carr at 94.
Where's Flacco?
How many are over 100, Tim?
Way down.
How many are over 100? Nine.
Nine 100-plus.
Brady, Rogers, Dalton Palmer, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Tyrod Taylor, Josh McCown, and Eli. Eli, who has thrown only two interceptions so far.
I guess Eli has played well. I haven't watched too many Giants games.
Where is Flacco? Flacco is 26. He's got a rating of 80, and he has five interceptions so far.
God, he's had no weapons. So, I mean, that was that game is still haunting. Jeez, oh, man.
I just don't feel like I can sit here and make a case for don't spend money on a quarterback in the NFL as much as I can easily make the case don't spend a ton of money on too many stars in the NHL because it's not worth it. It's better to spread the wealth. Like, we see every day what the quarterback
value
is worth here.
Oh, no, I get that. No, you're right. If this is about money, you're right. But my point is it's a lot easier to be a good quarterback in the National Football League these days. There are so-so quarterbacks that are looking good on a week-to-week basis more often.
It's just as hard to win as it ever was, but to put big
to
passing
put up big
stats
numbers,
up
the Josh
is
McCown
easier.
Performance.
Yeah. Like I say, okay. The name Brandon Whedon. Do you think 92 passer rating?
No, although the Crypt Keeper said he was the best arm on the planet or something. What did he say?
For God's sakes, the commentator?
No, I'm talking about Jerry Jones.
Oh, Jerry Jones. Oh, okay. I thought you meant Gruden.
I don't know what you're talking about either.
Because he was husking Whedon the last time he was talking about him too.
Yeah, they all praise the arm. You talked to Martavis Bryant, Tim, over at the facility.
I was enlightened, yes.
Should we play this 90 seconds of enlightening audio?
Sure.
Back off the rehab and after a week
him,
two.
Not me.
Yes, well, day ain't over yet.
We all know I still have a problem.
Day ain't over yet.
Here's Martavis.
No, all we can do is work in practice on what the coach presents us with. You know, we take shots, we will take shots. If we're not, we're not. Whatever the game plan is, we just got to go out there and execute it.
One thing that I know a lot of Steeler fans are excited to see is the opportunity for you guys to work together in a regular season game since there seemed to be some fast chemistry there between you, given the highlights from the Buffalo game. Right. Has that continued?
Yes, it continued in practice. You know, we develop our chemistry in practice. You know, this week, you know, we've been running a lot of routes and we both just getting our time down with each other, just learning each other, you know, and just when our boys down, it's all about who you can trust. And he having faith in me and me having faith in him. And he having faith in Weed. Darius Holloway, NAB, and the whole, and Heath Miller. So it's just all of us got to develop chemistry with him, just have his back, and I'm sure and he going to have ours.
I know there's a lot of talk about AB and should he get the ball more, but the fact that you've managed to go to overtime in one game and win another without him getting a ton of catches, and Darius has gotten in the mix and you're coming back, does that speak to the balance of what you guys can have this week against Arizona?
Right, AB is the best receiver in the league. You know, whether he get his touches or not, he's a threat out there on the field, so. No matter who's getting the ball, teams have to pay attention to AB because he can kill you at any given moment. So, you know, we're a family, so we don't pick fights with each other when we don't get the ball and stuff. You know, we have a plan to go out there and execute. We just want to win at the end of the day.
And lastly, is this a big game for the offense in terms of needing to maximize every time in the red zone insofar as you're going up against Arizona who can score a bunch?
Just got to play our game. We ain't worrying about stats, man. You know, it's a new week, a new challenge. You know, every week is a different challenge, so you can't go by previous weeks. You got to keep producing each week.
You seem to take offense to that question. I never inferred it was about stats. I was like, you got to score more than these guys, and they score a lot. Now, they played crap teams, but they do score.
We're a family. We don't pick fights. That should be. You should pass that over to Antonio Stahl and hang it on the wall there.
Yeah.
And we don't care about stats. Didn't D'Antonio say, I'm still up on
I'm
that
still
chart?
Up there on those charts.
Not that you should criticize Martavis for saying that. That's good. What you want to hear from your cliche receiver.